So folks, as soon as she's ready, we're going to have Maria Reuters, who has volunteered to talk about Blind Square, which is, as you'll hear, a rather complex iOS app that does lots of things related to GPS and finding things.
So Blind Square is one of my favorite apps. I got it at that time for $20. It costs now, I believe, $30. It is quite a complex app. I will not be able to demonstrate everything here, but I want to give you an opportunity to see the features that I like about it. I'm going to start it up.
Blind Square. Blind Square. Search button.
It will probably start to speak soon. This was, of course, voiceover.
My places. 77 Massachusetts A. 125 yards at 6 o'clock. Okay. Boston Fick. 120 yards at 4 o'clock. Event space, Boston Festival of Indie Games, 18 yards at 12 o'clock.
And so on. That's a feature called Around Me. It just tells you where things are. I'm going to actually ask it to be silent, not voiceover, but Blind Square. And there's a button here.
86% battery power, mute speech, button, speech on.
So now,
shared places, search.
What we hear will be voiceover at this point. If you want to get more information about this than I can give you today, and there's much more information about it, you can do several things. There's a help menu, which is pretty extensive. You can go to blindsquare.com and you call it up from there, and you just follow the headings, and it's pretty well organized. Another way is to listen to podcasts. There are some at AppleVis, but there are also some at blindsquare.com. And particularly, there are podcasts telling you how to use Blind Square with the Apple Maps or with the Google Maps. Because as you probably know, Blind Square doesn't have its own turn-by-turn, and you have to use another app together with it that Blind Square will call that other app. So it could be Google Maps or Apple Maps or something like that. And these podcasts explain how to do that, because you may have to change some settings in Apple Maps, for instance. They also talk about the advantages and disadvantages of the different maps.
Do you have a preference yourself for which maps you use?
I use Apple or Google. Sometimes I use one, like I think I like Google better for walking. Apple has the advantage that it says take a right and then take a left. So if I know that a little bit ahead of time, and if I had to cross a street or something like that, that could be an advantage there. So I just try out different ones. I have another one that I don't remember which one that is. I haven't used it. You could also use Navigon or TomTom if you have something like that installed. The fact that Blind Square doesn't have a turn-by-turn feature by itself is not a big problem for me, if any. And actually, I kind of like the fact that I have choices here. At some point, Google Map may have something cool that I can then try. At another point, it may be Apple Maps, and maybe I will even at some point buy something. So I turned this on, and at first I want to give you some idea what the main screen looks like. So I start at the top, and there is a horizontal line of menus.
Search button.
The search button, that's where you put, you know, your search for your addresses, basically.
Tools button.
The tools, well, I can go into these.
Alert, select action, look around button, your location button, around me button, nearby intersections button, GPS info button, weather button, contacts button, braille display button, cancel button.
Those are the tools. The next one,
Foursquare,
is Foursquare, which I really don't know much about. I am not a member of Foursquare. You don't have to use Blind Square. I'm not going to talk about that, but Blind Square basically gets their restaurants and their things from Foursquare, and then the streets it gets from Open Maps.
Other button.
So other, I open that.
Alert, Blind Square 2.40, settings, button, help, button. Accessory devices, button, about Blind Square, button, give feedback, button, credits, button, rate application, button, cancel,
okay,
button.
So
other,
that's
button.
The other, and
filter announcements, all, button.
Then you can filter announcements, so you may be walking through the streets and you don't want to hear the stores, but you're only interested in restaurants. You want to filter out the traffic points, like bus stops and things like that. it's up to you. And let's say you just want to hear the bus stops, you would just filter out all the others.
Filter announcements, speech on, button.
That's the speech on, speech off button. And that's the horizontal menu bar. And then the next thing is a slider. And this is...
Search places within radius of 165 yards. Adjustable.
So that's adjustable, and that's 165 yards now, but I can adjust it.
190 yards. 165 yards. 190 yards.
Okay. I can do it. Okay, so this is the radius. If you're in an area like this here, you want to set it pretty low because there's a lot of things here. If you're in a car and you go through a somewhat rural area, you would set it to a high radius because there isn't so much going on. So when you walk or when you're in a car or in the bus, it announces things that you go by, and these are intersections typically, and then points of interest. So restaurants, and below that radius are categories, a list of categories.
My places, search.
So my places, these are the ones that I create myself that have nothing to do with Foursquare.
Shared places, search.
Shared places I haven't really done anything with, but you have to be on Foursquare.
Arts and entertainment, search. College and university, search. Food, search. Nightlife spot, search. Outdoors and recreation, search. Professional and other places, search. Residence. Search. Shop and service. Search. Travel and transport. Search.
And that's it. And then on the bottom, there are still a few buttons.
Help button.
There's a help button, and this is a contextual help. So in this case, it would show help for the main screen.
Sleep mode. Switch button. Off.
So there's also a sleep mode. Okay, so that's basically the main screen. So some of the things that I really like about this thing is, one is that I can create places, and they can be anywhere. They don't have to be on streets. So I like this particularly for campuses. Here at MIT, Foursquare has already created a lot of points of interest on campuses. Let's see if we go to schools.
College and university, search. Infinite corridor, Cape College and University, found 32 places within radius of 200 yards. Gap, button, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, Cambridge, University, 8, MIT Stratton Student Center, Building W20, Cambridge, Infinite Corridor, Cambridge, General College and University, 105 yards at 8 o'clock, MIT Building 9, Cambridge, College Academic Building, 150 yards at 5 o'clock.
And the nice thing is also, if I pick one of these now,
MIT Building 9, Cambridge,
I open it,
150 yards at... MIT Building 9, 155 yards.
And when I open it, I get the place summary screen, is what that's called. And what that does is it gives me a number of actions that I can do, and I'm going to swipe through them.
Plan a route button.
So plan a route, that's the one where I would have to have Apple or Google or some other app.
Public transport button.
That would connect me, in my case, to transit, because that's the only one that I have that it works with.
Start tracking button.
Start tracking. If I start tracking this place and I start walking, I want to find the place. It will give me periodically direction and distance related to this place. And I find that very useful because the reason is that you don't have to just use it on a street. You can also use it practically anywhere. I haven't tried this, but I wanted to have my husband park in a big parking lot and then mark the place and then later see if I can find my car. I have used it in many situations, like if I was lost and I didn't quite know where I was, so I started to track a certain place that I wanted to go to that I was relatively close by, and I started walking. And then when it says such and such a place is at 6 o'clock, then I know, oh, I'm walking in the wrong direction. The other thing you can do is, let's say you have a Foursquare pizza place or something like that, and it isn't that accurate, then you can change that, or you can create your own or something like that. So I find that also very useful.
And also inside the My Places, when you're adding it, you can set an alert distance. If you're in like within 100 feet of that particular place, it'll alert you without even tracking the place.
Yeah, I did that at Perkins on the walking track so I would know where to get off the track.
Yeah.
And it worked quite well.
The first time John and I went on vacation, we were in Maine, and I knew the area somewhat, but we were looking to see if there were new places that we didn't know. And it did a great job tracking some new places, and We were able to mark them in the app and put them in our My Favorites, My Places. And we were able to simulate how to get to them so that when we went back last year, we actually found them.
So you mentioned simulating. That's another nice feature that I will talk about. I did create a few places, and I think a lot of us here have been at the Carroll Center. So I just want to show that on a map, because that's the other thing that I like. You don't have exactly a tactile map, but what would you call that? If you touch something and it tells you what it is. It's kind of like sliding your finger over the keyboard and it tells you the letter or number or whatever, and you know where it is. These points give you kind of a better understanding of the spatial situation. It's not tactile the way that we were just shown, this new alphabet, but you know, okay, I look at these things, but I think even if I touch them, and I get a pretty good feeling of how they are to each other. Let's see, I'm going back.
Back, button, back, button. My Places, search.
So My Places.
181 Concord Avenue, Cambridge, 2.55, rows 10 to 20, 770 Center Street, Newton.
Oh, there it is.
4 miles at 3 o'clock, 770 Center Street. Select 770 Center Street, Newton, 5.04 miles.
And I'm going
back
again.
Button.
To the summary screen, and here I can do a few more things.
Look up nearest address, button, share this place, button, Google, button, weather, button, show on map, button.
Show on map, that's what I want to do.
Show on map, 770 Center Street, Newton, 5.04 miles, west.
And
map,
the map
button.
Is coming up. I have to make the distance different. I have to zoom.
0.59 by 0.81 miles, button.
So I have to have a different
alert.
Zoom here.
260 yards. Button.
That's the smallest area that I can get. And now I have these places that I marked there, and
770 Center Street, Newton.
And I move
4 miles west.
And I move my finger up.
Access points of 52 bus stop CTR Street and Sergeant Street, 5.03 miles west.
And I go
entrance to St. Paul's, 5.02 miles west door of the main building, 5 miles west. East door to main building, 4.98 miles west.
And
building,
yeah, so,
miles west.
So this kind of thing I can do with all kinds of. Now this is a one. The category here is My Places. But if I want to see what restaurants are near me, I can do the same thing. And we used to all do that with Around Me already. But it was just, you know, numbers and directions. And here you can actually touch the screen and you see them all. So like if I go to My Place. At home, for instance, there are a lot of restaurants at Moody Street, and I kind of get the idea, oh, this is there, this is there. So I can do this for restaurants, I can do it for stores and any category. If I were at MIT, I would definitely, you know, want to do it for the campus to get to know where everything is and to put in the ones that aren't there for myself. So that's the show on map that I really like a lot because of the spatial kind of knowledge that you get that way.
You've used Ariadne in the past?
Yeah.
And which had sort of that same feature, that spatial thing. And I used it, you know, I don't have any vision. Frankly, it was just sort of scrambled eggs. Didn't
yeah.
really give any spatial sense. Is this, do you sense this is better than that?
Oh, definitely, because you have a choice of what you want to display. And Ariadne just displayed, and also Apple, the regular Apple maps, they display streets, and you have to follow streets and things like that. But in this here, you get points the same way that you get keys on your on-screen keyboard. You just have to try it out and see if you find it interesting. Visually, it's a big help, but I believe if you're blind that it is really a lot of help. I'm calling it the points on the map here, so that you can display things on the map and you can see, okay, this is west of, you know, something else, or
see,
north of
something. I don't think the maps are terribly accessible to us, Maria.
Well, spatial references to each other.
Yeah, the spatial reference.
Think,
Well, I think...
Yeah, but I don't think we can click on those points.
No, but you can hear them.
No, you know where they are in terms...
Right, it does give you a frame of reference, especially if you put... If you're walking around a large campus and at various spots you stop and create a My Place there, you can find them using your finger on the map and know, like, what the relationship to each other is.
It's the same that, like, finding the space bar when you're on the U or something like that. You can do that because you know where it is, and you can find all the keys on your keyboard in the same way, because these are not streets so much. The streets are there too, if there are any streets, but there are dots, basically. These are dots, and you get a sense of where are the dots in relation to each other.
So let's say you wanted to find a 52 bus stop and you found it on the map. Can you then double tap on it and start tracking?
I would go back to the summary here and...
Tap button. 770 Center Street. Newton.
And actually,
5.04 miles.
The summary is tap for 77 button. Center Street, but...
Category is My Places. Category is My Place. Tap button. Tap.
So I'm now in My Places.
52 bus stop CTR. Street and Sergeant Street, 5.03 miles at 3 o'clock.
And I have
Swipe
the 52 bus stop.
Then double tap to activate.
That's another one that I created.
Street and Sergeant Street.
I am in its summary, in its place summary, and I can now start tracking and then walk there from whatever entrance to the west door or the other ones that I have.
You can also, using that same technique, set it so that if you're in a car, it will tell you when you are approaching a certain place.
Yeah. This whole thing with the maps, I do not do this when I'm on the street studying the map. The, you know, sighted people may be able to do that. I cannot do that. If I plan a route and I have to take, walk to the bus stop, I know where that is, then I'll take the bus and then I have to get off somewhere, I have to maybe go to another bus. Then I want to know where that is in relation to the first bus stop or something like that. That's how I get my information from these maps. So when I plan a route, I do a lot ahead of time. Otherwise, I'm not going out. I don't like to go out into places where I have never been before. But this gives me a lot of information so I can plan it better.
I have this app and I've used it, but I've not used the My Places for tracking, and that sounds really exciting to me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying is if I'm, say, at a friend's house and I put that in as one of my places.
Right.
Then if I go out for a walk and become lost and can't find my way back, I could use tracking to find my way back to that location?
Yeah. Of course, if you are somewhere in the woods, in theory this would work, but I don't know, you have to be a good tracker or something like that. But if you stay on streets, yeah, you will definitely get...
Yes, sometimes I'll miss a turn and get mixed up.
Oh, definitely.
This will really help me.
Yeah. I've used that many times, like when I got off at the wrong bus stop and I wasn't sure, where am I now? So I definitely know I'm close to home, so I start tracking my home and then I start walking and I pretty much get information of, you know, where I am, closer or farther away, or works pretty well.
Important note, when you open BlindSquare, it's important before you start relying on, say, this subplace is at your 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, to walk 10, 15 steps.
Yeah.
So the GPS, satellite, cell towers can get a sense of the direction you're traveling and your location. Because if you just open it up and say, this place is at your 6 o'clock, that's not necessarily going to be reliable.
Yeah, you have to definitely start walking so that it gets your direction.
That's true with car GPSs too.
There is another feature that's called Look Around. I think another GPS calls that Wand. And that you just have to turn your phone around and it will tell you what is in the direction that you turn the phone to. So I just also wanted to mention that.
Can you compare that with Around Me and just explain what the difference is?
There's Around Me and Look Around. Around Me, you just sit there and it will go the directions from starting at north or starting, I don't know where it starts, and then it goes, around you. You don't do anything and it tells you what's around you, but it doesn't tell you streets, I think. And Look Around, you have to actually turn your phone into the direction that you want to know what things are there. There are other things, like in restaurants, for instance, if your place is a restaurant, you sometimes get a menu If it has food, then that's the menu and you can go to it. So that depends on Foursquare, whether Foursquare had put it in there.
And Maria says that it'll have the menu, it'll have the phone number,
right?
You can just dial it, which is really
easy. Yep.
And the address.
You can also go to Google and see what you get at Google from it.
Share this place button.
Share this place, you can share this place with friends. This is not the Foursquare related sharing. Let's say I wanted to share something with Tim, and we could do this with AirDrop now, or we could do it with email, or you know, some other way.
So you found this wonderful restaurant and you want to tell somebody about it, so you email it to them. They then take that information and embed it into their app, so it's now permanent on their list of places.
Yeah, I've done it with AirDrop, with the iPad that I also have. It asks me, actually, do you want this to open in Blind Square, or do you want it to open in Apple Maps, or, you know. That. Another feature that I really like, and that's kind of hard to demonstrate here, is how you can use the headphones. When you lock this and put it in your pocket, you can walk around, and when it's cold, you don't really want to take it out. And, you know, the typical Apple headphones that come with your iPhone, on one of the cables, they have 3 buttons. So you can use them to raise and lower the volume and to do other things with it. And here, you use the middle button. You can get your locations and your other parameters from Blind Square by doing that. And there is a whole audio guide that you can set this up. But I have definitely used it this winter sometimes when I didn't want to take the phone out of my pocket and just click the headphone. I could even leave my gloves on. And I think, Brian, you've also used that, right?
Yes, I think it's a great feature, combined with the fact that it has a sleep feature. Yep. So that if you're in an area where you're walking along and you don't need to have the GPS for a period of time, you can simply put it to sleep with the headphone. You press the middle button, it cycles through the menu. When it gets to the sleep part, you press it again, you're in sleep mode. Mm-hmm. And so then you're automatically not draining on your battery at all until you need to, and then you can turn it back on at your whim and go back to whatever you want to do. Plus, I always use earbuds if I'm going to use GPS anyway, and it just makes it much, much easier for me to control things while I'm walking, and it doesn't really interfere that much with my audio. I don't find that putting the earbud interferes a little bit with the higher frequencies, but it really is very helpful to use earbuds as opposed to trying to hold the phone while you're walking.
Right.
What about Aftershocks headphones?
They recommend Aftershocks, but I have no experience with Aftershocks.
I know some of us have had some experience with them. They're bone-conducting headphones. I sold them to Tim, and I think he sold them to somebody else.
I found that they pressed on my temples too much.
Right. They affected my echolocation ability, even when I didn't have any audio coming through them. Just having them on my head bothered me.
We use them, but not when we're traveling. When we're traveling, I find them very distracting.
I only use one ear, one bud. I run my wires through my clothing, so when I put my phone in my pocket, it's automatically connected to the wire. So when I have the bud in my ear, if I, for some reason, need to use that ear, it's important, I just pop it out, and it just is not in the way.
But there also are little Bluetooth speakers. I bought one from
Barry Shore.
Barry, yeah, recently. In fact, I happen to have it with me if anybody wants to see it. It's not much bigger than like a key fob, and it only has one button on it, and it syncs with your iOS device. It'll actually go quite loud, surprisingly loud. I'll get it synced up here just.
Okay, so there's at least one more thing that I want to demonstrate, and that is simulating a place. You can take any of your or Foursquare's places and pretend that you are there. And that's what I'm going to do with this bus stop here.
Simulate this location. Button. Search. Button.
All right. The noise is, they have that for safety so that people don't think they're actually in that place. Actually, I send an email to the developers and asking them, you can turn all the other sounds off that Blind Square makes, but not this one. Why not? Couldn't I do this? And he sent me an email back and said, no, this is for safety. The other thing I wanted to say is They are very responsive. I had a couple of issues and I sent them an email and they came back sometimes within hours. So I find that very helpful. We are at this bus stop.
My places. Shared places. Search. My places. Search. 52 bus stop CTR. Street and Sergeant Street. About 0 yards. Select 52
so
bus
that's
stop
about
CTR. Street and Sergeant Street.
About 0 yards.
Button.
And I'm going to show this on the map.
Show on map. Button. Show on map. 52 bus stop CTR. Street and Sergeant Street. 0 yards. North.
So
back. Button.
Now I'm going down with my finger.
770 Center Street. Newton. 70 yards. South. Use the rotor to access points of interest. Entrance to St. Paul's. 130 yards. South. Use the rotor. West door of the main building. 135 yards. Southeast. Use...
So this is the simulating a place. Everything is in terms of direction and distance from the place that you're simulating. So I find that very useful if I want to go to somebody like when we were visiting our son in Nashville, to kind of get an idea where he is and what's around him and that kind of thing. But also if I want to plan my routes, can be very useful. So you can pretty much go anywhere in the world with this where they have these maps.
I think the other thing you can do, Maria, correct me if I'm wrong, with the simulation is if you point your phone in different directions, it'll tell you what is...
Yes.
Alert. Select action. Around me. Around me. 52 bus stop CTR. Street and Sergeant Street. 770 Center Street. Newton. 70 yards at 1 o'clock. Newton Country Day School. 270 yards at 2 o'clock. The Carroll Center for the Blind. 160 yards at 11 o'clock. Mount Alvernia College Campus. 300 yards at 12 o'clock. Go. 310 yards at 6 o'clock.
So that's that. And then I can stop this.
Tool. Button. Alert. Select end simulation mode. Look around. Button. Your location. Button. Around me. Button. Recent places. Nearby intersections. Button. End simulation mode. Button.
So I'm going to end simulation mode and come back to here.
Tools. Button.
And there goes the noise. It is very international. So if I go to a German place, it will actually pronounce the German streets in German. That's also really very nice, you know, for
me.
Have
you ever used it in, you know, in German to see how it does?
Yeah, I have used it in Germany, but not walking because I didn't have a data plan there. I can definitely simulate a German situation. I haven't used it there walking, but I have friends there who like it and who use it all the time.
Well, I mean, have you ever used it in speaking German here, you know, just for a change of pace? Yeah,
yeah.
Change the language so that it will say the streets in German names or whatever.
I have not, but I don't know. But if I go to a German place, I think I only have one German place here. So like...
My places. Sorry.
Okay, so...
Neustadtstrasse 23, Quackenbrough, 3560. Select Neustadtstrasse 23, Quackenbrough, 3560. Weather. Button. Show on that. Button. Show on that.
So this is where my sister lives.
Neustadtstrasse 23, Quackenbrough, 3500. Neustadtstrasse 23. Letterhout, East Fist. Pass to follow. Kleinbahndamm, East Fist.
So it says Kleinbahndamm. It says that in perfect German.
Neustadtstrasse 23, Quackenbrough,
3,562.05
miles.
So that was voiceover, of course, but if I touch the map, then a blind square talks. I don't know if it does that in all languages. You can certainly use it in a bunch of languages. It's very international. I like the developer a lot. He's a little hard to understand, but... when you listen to his podcast, there are a lot of international podcasts.
Let me just say, I got this Bluetooth speaker working, so I'll,
okay.
I'll demonstrate it, and if anybody wants to see
camera.
It.
Unlock. Unlock.
So it's quite loud, considering
access
its size.
Mode. Messages. Double tap to do.
Let's see. It
double tap to open.
That's as loud as it goes.
Messages.
But it has
double
comes with
open.
A little carabiner, so you can attach it to a lapel buttonhole or something like that. It only has... one button, which is the on button. If you hold it in, it puts it into pairing mode. If you press it again, it turns it off.
and on the other side there's a micro USB port on it, and that's all. There's nothing else on it, just a little speaker. And for $25, Barry will sell you one.
Okay, there's one thing that I remember that I like better about Seeing Eye, and that is when the cross streets are announced, Seeing Eye says is on the left or on the right or something like that. And this one doesn't seem to do that. It just says the cross street, and you don't, or it says one street and then another street, and you don't know which one is to the left and which one is to the right. That's the one, the thing that I remember I like better about Seeing Eye. Also, I don't know, I have walked with Blind Square, with the Apple map and the Google map, and it doesn't bother me that some information comes from Blind Square and the other one comes from. So the turn by turns, they come from Apple map or Google map, and the other information comes from Blind Square, like the cross streets and the points of interests and all that kind of, and how much I have walked. It also has a pedometer built in. That comes from Blind Square. But they are different voices, and I don't particularly find that bothersome. At first, you have to do a little more work to get them working together, because at the beginning, my Apple map wasn't talking, and I learned from this podcast by Sandra what you have to do.
But I still think those maps, Apple Maps and Google Maps, are more oriented toward the vehicular travel. And because of that, I think they tend not to be quite as good as something like the Seeing Eye app with, for pedestrian.
I don't know. That could be. Which maps are they using, Seeing Eye?
You can set Seeing Eye to use TomTom, or I think the other one's called OSM.
Yeah, OSM. That's where Blind Sweat gets its maps from, too. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages to both of them, but what I like, and I don't know whether this is true, but I just like the tracking so much. The turn by turn, yeah, that's good. The turn by turn is, I did actually an experiment once. I wanted to walk home from the Carroll Center, and I just planned a route. The problem with that was, though, at some point I had to cross the street. This is what you have to kind of figure out in advance somehow. And I couldn't cross the street, so what am I going to do? Am I going back now, or am I going to call my husband? So what happened then was that Heather Platt, one of our mobility teachers, happened by and said, "Oh, are you lost? What are you doing?" And said, and she helped me crossing the street. I use a ID cane, and I had that with me, fortunately, so she helped me cross the street, and then I walked home from there. I would have found a way. All these walking directions, they don't tell you where you cross the streets.
There are things that a car GPS program will do, like I think you can search for places only in your direction of travel. Mm-hmm. I have yet to find an adaptive technology type app that will let you do that, which is really unfortunate, because if you're riding along the highway, it's telling you stuff that's already behind you and off to the east and so on.
If somebody doesn't like the clock face directions, you can also set them to either cardinal directions, or you can set it to what they call proportional, and that would be like slightly right or right or slightly left or behind you left, something like that. So you can use that too. If somebody doesn't understand clock face easily.
It'll tell you you're 2 miles from your destination.
Of course.
So thank you very much, Maria.